Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. We continue to live stream our worship services at 10:30 each Sunday. You can watch our regular Sunday worship service at our website, www.calmo-ucc.org. Scroll down and click on Online Worship Services. All of our services for the last month are there for viewing as well. We are continuing our sermon series, Great Expectations, that has been focusing on the parables of Jesus. This morning we will be in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, to look at the very familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. Many look at this parable as an encouragement to help those in need, which is certainly a part of this parable. Jesus, though, is conversing with a gentleman that thinks he is doing everything necessary to get to heaven. What he finds out, though, is that he's in danger of missing out on eternal life altogether due to his lack of understanding of how to truly love God and to love his neighbor. We will try to go deep into this parable to help each one of us better understand what it really takes to love God and our neighbor so that we know we have eternal life. As we continue to worship online and not in person, it's easy to get discouraged. Paul addresses this worry and discouragement in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. I encourage you to read that passage to lift you up during this very difficult time. I'll leave you with verse 17 from 2 Corinthians 4. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Heaven is in our future as believers. Don't lose heart. He has overcome the world. Thank you for listening. Now we have for our special a duet by Lauren and Stacy Frederick, mother and daughter duet, and I know you'll be blessed by this. So thankful and blessed to have Dylan Ash, the son of Lanny and Ellen Ash, read our scriptures this morning all the way from North Carolina. So Dylan, would you take it away this morning?
Hey guys, my name is Dylan Ash. I'm a U.S. Navy Corpsman, currently serving at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, Marine Corps Base. And I have two scriptures I would like to read for you guys today. The first scripture we will be reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. For I delivered to you, as the first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12th. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. The second scripture we will be reading today is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the workings of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in his age, but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, and fills all in all. Thank you, guys. Make sure you keep washing your hands, stop coughing on each other, and be safe. Thank you.
So thankful and blessed to have Dylan with us this morning. And thank you, Dylan, for your service, and all of our military people and their families for their service as well. This morning, we're going to continue our series, Great Expectations, looking at the parables of Jesus. You know, again, happy Resurrection Sunday. Why is this Sunday so special each year to Christians? To many, it means Easter egg hunts, Easter baskets, new dresses, family dinners, and etc. But why do we single out this one Sunday? Paul tells us specifically why in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If you don't want to hear another boring sermon or be dragged to church by your spouse or loved ones, all you need to do is prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Don't just ignore it, but make positively clear that Jesus did not come back to life. That's what Paul is saying here. Preaching and faith are useless without the resurrection of Jesus. But even more than that, look what Paul says in verses 20 through 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death itself. Christianity stands and falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also so does your faith, our preaching, and our eternity. Adam brought sin into the world. Christ paid the price for that sin. And then by God's power was brought back to life to pave the way for the rest of us. And because of this, he has and will destroy death. That's why we celebrate this Sunday. But we can have that joy every day of the year, not just on this special weekend. So how does the resurrection of Jesus affect your life? Has it affected the core of your life? This morning we continue our sermon series, At Great Expectations, by looking at the parable of the two foundations, or maybe the parable of the two builders, you might call it. When I started this series, this was the parable I had picked out for this Sunday, because the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of Christianity, and it should be the foundation of your life, my life, and our faith. It's found at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. You can also see it in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Maybe a unique parable to look at for Easter, but what foundation are you building your life on? Are you building it on the foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the single most important event in human history? Or are you building your life upon what the world says is important? Power, wealth, family, or pleasure? I've heard many sermons on this parable, and I've preached this sermon a few times in the past. They usually talk about the storms of life that come against the two foundations, but when you read the previous verses leading into this passage, which is always a good thing to do when you want to study Scripture, you see Jesus is talking actually about final judgment, how our life ends. Verse 13 and 14 of chapter 7 of Matthew talks about a narrow gate and a wide gate, a broad road that leads to destruction and a narrow way that leads to life. Then the next few verses go on to good fruit and bad fruit. Bad tree and bad fruit, the bad tree and the bad fruit are thrown into the fire. So we have destruction and fire. And finally, verses 21 to 23, he talks about those who think that just by doing a few great things, by calling Jesus Lord, Lord, that won't even be enough for eternity. See, Jesus knows our name, but do we really know him? Does he really know us? Are we intimately involved with him? If we don't, then he tells us in verse 23, then he tells them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. It is a very familiar parable. It's one that, as I did on the children's time that you've seen, maybe cartoon pictures of two guys building their houses. One way up high on the bluff, you know, where the rains come, and, you know, he's safe from all the rains, and one that's right down next to the river and built on the sand, so when the rain and the storms come, it washes the one away. I really don't think that's right. I think both houses were next to one another. They both look good on the outside. Good roof, good siding, good windows, but you can't see what is below. Did they take the time to do the right thing so when the big storm comes, it will stand the test of time? I worked pouring foundation and footers the first year Betty and I were married, living in Cincinnati while I was attending seminary. It was hard work. Here I was, this scrawny 140 pounds, working next to a former college football lineman, Mike Soyka, all 6'6 of him. What a big man. It was a hard, demanding work, carrying the forms, putting them up, building the footers, pouring the concrete. It wasn't just hard work, but it had to be exact. Our boss, Bill Bruner, would look through the transit, making sure we had everything level and had all the measurements right, so when we started to sit the forms on the footers, they would match the foundation, or match the footers and sit correctly. If it wasn't right, then the whole house would be off. When Jesus told this parable, remember, Jesus was the son of a carpenter. Something about building things he knew about. He knew how important correct measurements and correct materials were to something building and lasting for a lifetime. Let's look here at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, and see what he has to say about foundations and how important they are to our life. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Two builders, a lot in common. Both hear the master. Both build houses. Both experience a great storm. Why was one able to withstand the great storm while the other one was destroyed? Well, first of all, we see that the first one built according to the proper design. You can choose from various designs. I worked for a company part-time that built homes several years ago, and they still build homes in Columbia today. I helped with their QuickBooks stuff. Don't have to worry. I didn't have anything to do with any homes physically being built. I just helped them with their accounting stuff. They built spec homes and waited for some people to buy them, but they also built custom homes to a specific design. We have a family in the church right now that's been building their custom home over the last year. They are almost finished. They're so excited. It has taken a little longer than they would like, but they wanted it built just right, to their exact wishes, and built to last with the best construction people involved. It takes time to build something that will last. God's design sets a higher standard, and it's specific. There isn't a lot of gray in Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. He's very specific. He says there's a wide path and a narrow path. There's not a middle lane. There are false prophets and true prophets. There's bad fruit and good fruit. There are those who think just saying words is enough for eternity, and then finally we have a rock foundation and a house without a foundation. Jesus tells them in the previous chapters of Matthew 5 and 6 how to build according to his design. He would address the false notions this way. He says, you've heard it said, just like us in our society. We hear people say something that's successful. And then he'd say, but I tell you this. This is what's important. This is the things that we need to listen to. He talks about anger. He talks about how to deal with hatred. And he talks about temptation and lust, the importance of marital relationships. He talks about revenge. He talks about giving. He talks about praying and fasting. What's important and trusting. And how are we to look at and interact with others. Those are the instructions. That's the design coming up. Are we going to follow that design? But see, it's your choice. Paul talked about the two building designs available in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26. He lists the acts of the flesh. They're obvious, he says. And then the life by the Spirit. John talks about in his letter about not loving the world. See, we need to follow what's written here. This is the proper design. or follow what you hear from others and what the world encourages to be important. That's your decision. The one builder chose the design without laying a proper foundation. Just build it on top of the ground. The soil looks good. It looks level. But soil can be deceiving. It can look good on the top. But as Luke says in Luke chapter 6, you've got to dig down to bedrock. You've got to follow the design. This is what he says. Jesus says in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. He was right down there where the floods could come. But see, he got all the soil out of the way, all the loose materials all the way. It's the same with us. When we want to dig down, we got to get rid of all those foolish things, all those useless things in our life so we can get down to what's important. But you know, it's important to follow the proper design. I remember probably the one and only Boy Scout trip I was ever on. I don't think I ever earned any badges, and I don't think they ever invited me back. We went on a camping trip. I'm a middle school, I can't remember exact age, but we used my dad's tent. He had a little trepidation, and he had full reason to be have trepidation about it. But we got in a hurry when we got to the place that we were camped. We didn't really look at the location very well, but we wanted to just get out and do the things and not worry about anything that might possibly happen. We didn't take time to dig a trench around our tent in case it did flood or did rain. But I do remember waking up floating on my air mattress. And in the haste of our whole group, we got all of our stuff together. We folded up that wet tent, that wet canvas tent. We didn't worry about airing it out then. We just got out of there. And I remember we aired that out in the basement of our house. I can still almost smell that moldy scent. My dad reminds me of this from time to time because it made a big impression on him. And like I said, I never made Eagle Scout. I don't have any badges. I think there was probably good reason for that. Because, see, the first builder, unlike me, decided to follow the master's design and custom build according to his plans. But he not only chose the right design, he also chose the right materials. It says in Luke's account that he dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. It takes time and the right tools to dig down deep. You have to trench out a place for the footer, put in the form, stake them, level them, put in rebar, and then pour the concrete. Make sure the concrete has the right mixture in it. Once that's all done, then the foundation gets poured, forms again, more rebar, more concrete. Too much water, too much sand, too little sand, too much calcium when it's cold. All of that makes a difference. I remember when we first moved into the house we lived in Hallsville. The wall between the kitchen and the living room sagged. It was noticeable, right where the refrigerator sat. I remember getting into the crawl space, and only one support post was there for the whole span of that room, that beam that went through that whole span. One wood post on a dab of concrete quite didn't do the job. I remember spending 2 to 3 weeks digging out two more concrete pegs, lugging in bags of quickcrete, brought in 3 floor jacks, and we finally made it level. We finally had the necessary materials. We finally were following the right plan. 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 7 gives us some of the necessary materials that need to be mixed together to have a strong spiritual foundation. It says, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. Paul tells us the greatest of everything is love. We see all of this from the 3 chapters on the Sermon on the Mount. Praying, giving, forgiving one another. I encourage you to read those 3 chapters of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And you will see many of the necessary materials for us to listen and follow to have a strong spiritual obedience. But they don't do any good if they're not combined with obedience. Hear these words of mine and puts them into practice, listening and doing. It sounds a lot like the first chapter of James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I wonder if ringing in his ears were these verses right here. Obedience, authentic, active faith. Not a perfect faith, but one that's trying to pursue the heart of the master. It's like having the ingredients for a cake. The eggs, the milk, the batter, and then never putting them in the oven. They're useless and they're mixed together and you follow the directions. What rock are we building our foundation on? Dylan read some of those verses just a few minutes ago, and Paul tells us in those verses of 1 Corinthians 15, that's the heart of the gospel. If someone ever asked you what Christianity is all about, remember these five verses, the first five verses of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." Think about it. Standing on this foundation, by this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, if you do what I say, otherwise you have believed in vain. You could hear all the great things, you could understand all those things, you could believe those things, but unless you take your stand and hold to it firmly, it's of no use to you. And this is what he says, "For I received what I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. See, that's it. That is Christianity all summed up. That's why we believe. He lived, he died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again, and they all saw him. This is what we take our stand on. This is what we build our foundation on. Anything else is sinking sand. The one man chose the right design, and he made sure he had the right materials for a strong foundation. But what are those, just like I had three floor jacks underneath my house to support the house properly, what are the four spiritual floor jacks we should couple with obedience? We see it right there. He died for our sins. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's the heartbeat of the gospel. God loves us so much that he sent his own son to die for us. And then he was buried. Romans 6:4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Just as he is buried, we're buried in baptism with him. It says, "Then he rose again on the third day, but thanks be to God," 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ because of his resurrection." And then finally, he appeared to all the disciples. It wasn't hearsay. It wasn't secondhand testimony. It was eyewitness that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, the 500, the other people, to James, and finally me. That's what you're building your foundation on when you believe those four things. Both men had access to the same building materials. They both heard the same instructions. They both had the master plan at their disposal. But they had to combine it with the knowledge and their knowledge with action. And that's what we do when we read his word. We digest it. We let it soak in. We let it ponder and stew in our minds. And then we act upon it. But then he also knew this builder, not only that he had to build to the design and the right materials, but that what he built had to pass all final inspections. Some people try to cut corners. The houses in the subdivision that we live back in Hallsville, people would say when I got to know my neighbors, "Well, you know, that is a Tommy Lee house." That's not what they would say about our house. What they meant by that was something was always wrong with every house that was built in our subdivision. Maybe something was missing. Maybe it wasn't the right materials. But see, when you keep cutting corners spiritually, there will be a day when that will come home to roost and somebody needs to fix it. We see that here in this sermon. We see, "Lord, Lord, I did all these things for you, but Jesus says, I never knew you." They didn't take the time personally to interact with Jesus regularly. Maybe once or twice a year, maybe at Christmas Eve or at Easter, but for the rest of the year, that's my time. It takes hard, painful work to fix a lot of foundation issues. The first month we lived in our house in Hallsville, we had water up to our back door because of spring storms. I spent the next several years digging trenches, sloping dirt away from the house, drilling holes in concrete retaining walls so water could be released from where it was holding, putting in drainage tiles, and etc. When we moved to California last year, we had a little water issue as well with our new house, but we called our landscaper, Ted. He came out and diagnosed the problem in 5 minutes. It was a clogged gutter, a low spot near the foundation, a little crack in the basement, but the real problem was farther away where that low spot and the clogged gutter was at. A little work last year and a little more this year, and I think the water issues are behind us, but it took someone with the expertise, the master inspector, to let me know where the cracks and the issues were at. But see, when the big storms come, they expose weakness. Branches are broken, trash cans are blown away, patio furniture ends up in your neighbor's backyard, shingles end up on the front yard. Sometimes trees get uprooted. It took me several years of hard work to resolve our water issues at our house back in Hallsville, and I had to get dirty. I remember when we finally leveled the kitchen, it messed up the drywall that had already been put in because that drywall was done with an unlevel floor. But see, when you start addressing issues with a bad foundation, it might mess up some things in your life to get things right with God. There will be storms of life that come before the final storm of judgment that will give us a good idea how strong our spiritual foundation is. The storm of loss, the storm of worldliness, the storm of discouragement like right now, the storm of fear. Maybe it's the storm of debt or the storms of temptation and addiction. Those storms are warnings to us to fix the current foundation issue so we will be prepared for the biggest storms. But what happens if you don't take care and be ready for the final inspection? Luke tells us your destruction will be complete. Or in Matthew, it says that the house fell with a great crash. It says at that moment the torch struck and it collapsed and its destruction was complete. I've done a lot of funerals for people over the years. The saddest ones are the ones of people that don't have a solid spiritual foundation. They've cut corners. They didn't take time to look at their spiritual foundation work. They try to patch it together. And when that storm comes, it cracks. It shows the cracks in their foundation. So how do we build that spiritual foundation on the resurrection of Jesus Christ that will last for eternity? We do it by the power God has given each one of his children through the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 1, again, just the first couple verses, 18 and 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, to restore the blood in his body, to reconstruct the cells that have been destroyed, to heal up the scars and the wounds to his side and to his hands and to his feet, is the same power that he uses today to change our lives, to help us to have the strength of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life to do the will of the Father. It's the same power that was there when the universe was created. That's the power that's available to each one of us. It's the power of the resurrection to build the life that God will stand the test of time for eternity. When I had to crawl under my house to check for water issues back in Hallsville, I was always listening, wanting to hear that sound of the sump pump, that low hum that knows that if there's water issues down there, because I had a crack in my foundation because that beam that didn't have the proper support affected the foundation wall, that water, that's where the water came in. And I would want to hear that sump pump kick on when the spring rains were coming. And if I didn't, I would just stew, and I'd have to crawl in underneath our house into our crawl space, and it was not easy. I had to crawl over the washing machine. I had to squeeze by the water softener and the furnace and the water heater. And I had to go in backwards on my knees, and it was just a mess. I did not want to do it. Plus, it was dark down there, and it was scary. I always thought there was a spider or a snake. Just wait for me when I got down there. But I would turn on my cap lamp. I'd have to get a little dusty and a little muddy just to check on those things. And that's what we need to do right now. Check our spiritual foundation. You need to get to know the builder. You need to get to know his design. Use his materials and be ready to pass the final inspection. It may take some hard work and you may get a little dirty and it may be a little difficult to do, but you've got to get to know the master builder. Do you know Jesus? Does he know you? Do you pray regularly? Do you read his word regularly? Are you listening and not doing? But see, there will be a day when your work will be exposed for what it is. Did you build on the sand? Or did you build with a rock-strong foundation? We have the YouVersion Bible app in our bulletin along with the Right Now media videos from our website available for you to take advantage of and strengthen that foundation. But see, our hope is the same as Jesus gave to Mary and Martha in John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asked her this question, do you believe this? Martha answered, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. Have you made that same statement in your life? If not, don't delay another day. Don't let another Easter go by or another hour. Contact me anytime to start building your life upon the rock of Christ. That is the foundation and rock I build my life and my family's life, my hope and my faith on, Jesus Christ. Won't you do the same?